eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
When you buy a new house, you might say,
shut the front door.
Winning.
No, seriously, shut the front door. We own this house now.
But you actually need to say,
like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. The local State Farm agent is there to help you choose the coverage you need.
Welcome to my crib. No one says that anymore, but I don't care.
So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
And a big pileup. Five riders are down.
Mass chaos.
He needed something like this to kickstart a career rebuild. Austin Faulkner wins.
Welcome, everyone. Another episode of Title 24 presented by NBC Sports. I'm Ricky Carmichael. Got my co-host, Ryan Villopoto. As always, before we get going, we got to thank our sponsors, United Motorsports, Boxo USA, Quadlock, and Dunlop. Happy to have you guys as partners and aboard and enjoying the ride with us. RV, an epic race this week. In Detroit, lots to talk about this week on the episode, so I'm looking forward to it. The initial thoughts on the track, as we like to do on Title 24, is have a lot of fan reaction and engagement with them. How It's 91 says, what gets impacted most by racing short tracks? It was a short track for sure. RV, what do you think is the biggest impact when it's a short track like that?
Well, I mean, I think so. Yeah. I mean, what do we have, like a 40-second-ish lap time, I believe. Typically, yeah, you know, you get into lappers a lot quicker. And then I think the other kicker part to that is the track breaks down more because you're doing more laps. It's not based on 20 lap main events, 15 lap main events anymore, right? We're based on time. So inside of that time, when you have a 45, 48 second lap time, you're able to do a lot more laps. So instead of it being a 20 lap main event, you might be 25, 26. I didn't actually look at that. I should have looked at that and see where we ended up with lap count. But you just get way more wear and tear on the track. Especially like we saw Detroit, pretty ruddy. The track was breaking down and it wasn't a very technical track from just the build of the track, but it gets very technical. And these as riders that we heard, with the presser, yeah, exactly, with the ruts and the breaking down. And some of those ruts eventually get so deep that you're dragging foot pegs and you got to really move around. So I think that's the biggest thing when you, you know, when it is a shorter lap time, you hit lappers quicker and the track breaks down a lot more.
Good question. How It's 91. Appreciate the question. So that's awesome. We're going to switch it up this week. On the pod, all you loyal listeners that listen to us every week, as you know, we normally start with the 450 and we break that down, but we're going to reverse it today for today's episode and talk about 250 first. So really excited about that. United Motorsports moment of the night, I think this needs to be noticed, is Austin Faulkner. Incredible win. I talked about it, you know, on the broadcast. It doesn't come as a surprise. You can see right here, for those of you just listening, we are watching a replay of Austin. I mean, number one, historically, he's been a great starter his whole career. The guy has always had a lot of speed. It's just making it to through the complete season has been really his Achilles heel, and he hasn't been able to do that his whole professional career. So for me, this doesn't come at as a surprise. I'm stoked for him. I'm also stoked for Mitch Payton and the whole crew at Monster Energy Pro Circuit Kawasaki team. They've had a rough go the last, you know, I mean, for a while they have, but your United Motorsports moment of the night this week goes to Austin Faulkner in an incredible win. Take it away, RV. Like, there's a lot that has changed in his program. You can talk about it, and like, is this for a couple things? What do you think about the change? was it surprising to you? And do you like where he's at? And like, what are you looking for in Austin Faulkner?
Well, I mean, look, the guy's been in I think I heard on the broadcast, and correct me if I'm wrong, but he's been out there for 8 seasons already. Yeah,
that's right.
You know, that's a long time, and especially in the 250 class, right? But as we saw, he's had some really, really rough years. A lot of it was self-inflicted. A lot of it, a fair amount of it was some bad luck, let's call it. Yep. But yeah, with the big, you know, big program change, you know, he's working with Rhino. And look, we know Austin has the speed. He's always been one of the fastest guys at the test tracks on the weekends. And I had heard, you know, like I think it was the presser that where he was saying, you know, like we put the stopwatch away and we were really working on technique. And I do think that has helped him. I think also him getting a little bit older, you know, getting more mature, and that has also helped, you know, and look, I think if he can have another, yep, another two good races, I believe that he'll be in this fight for a championship, because I think number one, mentally for him, he's gonna, you know, normally he starts it off with pretty disastrous, you know, mistakes. And yep, if he knocked down a very first win, that's great, but we need to see, I would like to see a couple more out of him to really kind of solidify where he's at. You know, we had a huge first turn pileup, so maybe it worked into his favor. But look, he got off the line first. He put himself in a great position, and he led wire to wire every single lap. And, you know, you could see that he looked comfortable even on that technical ruddy track. And it was good to see, because it's been a long time coming, man. I mean, to be honest, I wrote the guy off a couple of years ago.
Really? Yeah. I kind of did too.
Yep. So it's good to see that, you know, and it's good to see, I'm obviously very close with Mitch, himself. Yep. And, yep, you know, I'd love to see, Team Pro Circuit's had a very, very rough, like, I don't know, maybe 5, 6, 8 years. And it's nice to see, you know, Levi on the West and Austin on the East, you know, kind of getting back to those winning ways that Pro Circuit's always had. They've been in a major slump, man.
Well, you think about a guy like Austin Faulkner too, very similar to Adam Cianciarulo's situation, where they came up through the Kawasaki Team Green program, which, for those of you who don't know, that's Kawasaki's amateur program, you know, basically since these guys were 6, 7, 8 years old, okay? And they come up through there. So you think about the dollars that this company has invested in these two athletes in particular, and still haven't reached what I would say their full potential for whatever reasons. So, you know, that's why, and I think for you too, RV, like, that's why I'm happy for Mitch. I'm pumped for Kawasaki. 'Cause when you spend, you know, when you spend all this money and you support these riders, you want to see it pay off in the long run. So I'm happy for them. I think the biggest thing for me, I think I talked about it on the post-race, SMX Insider post-race show, about what I'm looking for Austin is to see if he can close it out finally. I think he's going to be challenged a bit more. I think for all intents and purposes and conversations on our show, RV, it was a game changer for everyone falling. It doesn't mean that he wouldn't have won. I'm not saying that, but you know, we got to do our job, and it just needs to be noted. There were some guys that could have possibly been have challenged him, and not taking away the ride from Hymus or Anstey by any stretch, but would love to see, you know, more guys up front. So great job, Austin. That's our United Motorsports moment of the night. If you haven't, check out unitedmotorsports.com. Remember, you go there, sign up. The first initial sign-up fee, you go to unitedmotorsports.com/title24. There's a scan barcode on there. You can scan that. It'll bring you right to the landing page. You get a $15 credit. Then they are picking out one winner each week that signs up, and they will get a $50 credit. That's one winner each week. They'll be doing a lot of other stuff. So great company. So that's it. And just a fantastic ride by Austin. You know, one thing that I will say, RV, and I don't know if you saw something that I didn't, I never really saw a moment where I was like, oh man, he's going to go down. Like, he seemed totally in control.
He did. He totally did. And that's, I think, a big thing that's different for him. And yeah, let's say it came from his program, came from the switch to Rhino and putting the stopwatch down. Right. And really just focusing on his technique and staying in control, because like you said,
right,
I didn't see one moment of him out there where there was like, ooh, sheesh, this is, you know, yeah, that was a close call. It was a very, very solid ride. It wasn't at some blistering pace, you know. Chance kept him honest for you know, quite a
half
while.
The race. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, kept him very honest. It was a really good ride from Chance, you know. But yeah, then, you know, Forkner did break away and he just rode a complete solid race. And, you know, it was good to see that, because in the past, moments were very, normal for him to have on us, especially on a supercross track with that much technical, you know, the ruts being very technical and the track breaking down. It's very easy to have those moments. I know we'll talk about it. We'll get to video with Jet. Like, he had a couple moments he talked about it in the press conference. So to have Austin come out and ride as solid as he did, it was really good to see.
Yep, for sure. I think the biggest hot topic, I think across the board, outside of McAdoo, but it was that first turn crash and the box breakdown this week is the 250 first turn crash. We had a ton of engagement from our listeners and viewers this week, what our thoughts were, and, you know, like Monday morning quarterbacks and how could we fix this and why wasn't the red flag thrown out. But if you haven't yet, check out boxousa.com. Our Boxo breakdown this week is a 250 first turn crash, and we're watching right here in RV. We're going to break it down. We have multiple views. Myself personally, I like this head-on shot, kind of overhead head-on shot. Really shows what happened step by step. And, you know, I'm going to let you break it down from the top. And our producer, Aaron's going to have to do some fancy footwork here. But, man, that's a shot of Evan Ferry just getting absolutely pummeled on the side. Oh, dude, I felt so bad for him. And but anyhow, Aaron, if you can, roll the head-on shot, and RV, you take a crack at it and tell us what went down.
Yep, totally. Yeah, like right here, you know, so Chance looks like he's, you know, got a great jump, and then
right,
it was cut, I think it was four, it was another PC rider, 63, Hammaker,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
McAdoo, sorry.
Yeah.
And man, so that was the first kind of incident, right, where Chance got the jump, did exactly what he was supposed to do, cut over on those guys.
So no harm, no foul, right here. Like, Chance, man, you're cool with that? You're cool with that?
I'm cool with that, because as you see right there, we have it stopped right now for the listeners that are actually watching or going to watch this. You got Chance cutting off. You got Hammaker there moving over, not cutting off, moving over. But right before that, we had looks like it's a Yamaha next to him in the FXR gear there. 89, I think it is. They kind of had come together too, right? So right there, you can see Hammaker's way out of balance.
Yeah, he's out now.
McAdoo, sorry guys, way off balance. And then you have
he saves it.
So now move over to the inside, and you have Tom Vielle, and you have Hammaker coming together. And that right there is what caused the entire pileup. You can see the motorcycle laid over, kicks Vial's bike, his rear of the bike out, and then it was just a full domino effect into that first turn. And I know we had a lot of Cody Shock was 69 there. So yeah. I know we had a lot of listeners, a lot of fans commenting, how come they didn't red flag this race? And you know, we kind of discussed this prior. There is no rule about how many riders go down into the first turn. And we talked about it, and it's the discrepancy of, you know, AMA can actually red flag the race. So can Supercross. Asterix Mobile Medical Unit, Alpinstar's Mobile Medical Unit, depending on if people are actually in the race, if it's affecting the race. Everybody got up. A lot of the guys were actually off the track, piled up into the tough blocks there. So is it a bummer? Is it a huge shakeup? 100%. But we can't just pull a rule out of thin air and say, okay, because half the field went down, we're going to red flag this race, right? So I think the call was acceptable. If I was Austin Faulkner or anybody up in that top three, I would have been like, show me the rule, right? I would have been very upset if that were to happen. Right. But man, it took down some major, it took some heavy hitters down. It took Hamaker, it took McAdoo, it took Deegs down. I mean,
Romano,
Tom Vial. I mean, it took a massive chunk out of the field, but that's kind of the way it is, you know, on those left-handers and the way you're coming into that first turn, sometimes it is avoidable, you know, by paying attention to what's happening and making those split second decisions. To me, this one on the inside there, where it started with Tom and Hamaker, there was really not, they just come blowing across the track and blindsided a lot of those guys, which that's really nobody's fault.
Yeah. Hopefully RV gave you guys some clarity on the situation. Why wasn't the red flag thrown? Should it have been thrown? Listen, it's not at our, you know, we don't make the rules. I think it was the right call. I mean, again, to be clear, in this case, everyone was up and mobile and a clear path for the bikes to traverse around, and on a flat surface, it's posed minimal risk to the advancing riders. That's why the red flag was not thrown in this situation. Is it discretional sometimes? Of course it is. And you know, I think if the track kind of, I think you talked about it, RV, if the track was jammed up and clogged up, possibly they would have thrown the red flag. So hopefully that gives you some sort of clarity. Again, I know some of y'all ain't gonna you're not going to agree with that, but it is what it is. That leads me to a question, and my mind escapes me. I was looking through our fan questions, RV, and I'm bummed that I didn't remember the person who asked this, but one of our fan questions, RV, asked the metal grates. Do you think that the metal grates and it making it a bit even for everyone else coming out of the gate, do you think that's why so many guys are stacked up on each other and there's not enough difference in between riders or not?
I mean, look, I'll have Aaron run that replay start one more time. Look how yes, that's one, but there's a lot of guys dropping back. You got Hamaker already fallen back.
Deegan was back. Deegan screwed up.
You know, look right there. If we stop it right there, look at the field. That isn't 22 riders coming into the gate into the first turn all at the same time, right? You have some guys on the very inside, way far back. You got some guys on the outside that are far back, and they're in the middle too. You have some, you know, Pierce Brown is right in the middle, and he's not dead last, but as for the middle of the field, he's like dead last in the middle of the field there. Like, I know that was a topic last year, like the greats and this and that, you know, like, does it make it easier for everybody to get a good start? Well, right there, you just saw not everybody came into the first turn. They start to break apart. Look at, they're already breaking apart. You got Pierce Brown, you got,
Bennett's up there.
Yeah. And these guys are already starting to get their, you know, pull away or drop back, letting off because of, hey, I don't have the wheel. These guys all have the wheel on me. So I have to break away. I have to give way for the riders that do have control. And even another shot there, they're really starting to fall back because they have to give way for the rider that has the grip in front of them or the front tire in front of them. So, you know, consistency is key, meaning if outdoors has grates and supercross has grates, that's great. I don't like to see dirt on outdoors and great in supercross. If we're running grates, we run grates everywhere.
Gavin _ Angel asked that. Dude, good stuff. So the question, his original question was, do you think the starting grate had anything to do with the first turn pile up with all the guys getting near perfect traction? Seems like it would have caused more bikes in the first turn, resulting in more crashes. So great. He's on it today. I think you're going to love later on in the show what he's got to, how he's going to break a few things down. It's going to be epic. So you got to stay tuned, on the 450 breakdown. It's going to be good. I kind of agree with you, RV. I think from a certain standpoint, I think that the metal grates do help the guys get off evenly over the gate. But in this particular situation with a 90-degree first corner, I think that these guys are fighting so hard to get the, you know, to get the wheel on their competitor, especially in a 90-degree corner, that they just got a little excited. You know, I think, you know, Hammaker, I think at one stage when Henry Miller started to, like, close in on him, he kept the gas on for just a split second too much. And when I talk about split second, dude, I'm talking like a foot maximum to, to two. And right here. So right there, you see Max. So right there, he should have let off. Like right when Max started to close him down, if you can go back just one more click. Right here. He has, in my opinion, okay, Hammaker, should have rolled out a little bit right here. I feel like it. He was getting squeezed out. He holds on to it. I appreciate him wanting to do the best that he can, but then he collides with Miller, and then looks like his handlebar maybe hit the seat or maybe jersey of Vial, and then the rest is history. Is it a popular opinion? I don't know. That's what I think happened. These guys are fighting for it. I understand it. Sometimes you got to be you got to be mindful, and dude, just take your pill, right?
Yeah,
take
your pill, dude. Yeah, totally. And that's, you know, to the great thing is, like, it only makes, if you go back to dirt starts like it was when we were in super, like when I raced in Supercross, and same as you, Ricky, like it puts that much more emphasis on your lap time at practice, being in the top three to top five, because sometimes, you know, we'll use Phoenix, for example, we're heading into Phoenix. And there's a lot of times there might be only three good gates. And what I mean by three good gates, it might be three gates that have traction, and a lot of the other ones are blue groups. So it definitely takes and puts a lot more emphasis on your lap times during practice, locking in inside the top five, you know, for your gate pick. So now, being that we are using grates, you know, you can be within, if you're top eight, that's, you know, anything kind of inside the box, you're pretty dialed in with the grate, you know? So, I do think it makes the starting more, a little more even, but I also think by having the grate, you have a better chance of pulling, you can pull a hole shot from the outside, where if you go to Phoenix and you have a 90-degree turn like that, and over half the gates are blue groove behind where the rear tire sits, and you just spin, you know, that as a racer, when you go up and you're like, dude, there's only three good gates, that kind of sucks to see. So yes, it does even out the playing field with the grate, but these riders are well, you know, capable of seeing these things kind of happen. And like you said, holding the throttle on a split second too long can get you into trouble sometimes.
Do you think this comes from Rich Lane. He put on the incredible Title 24 live show last week at Anaheim. He asks, should Supercross get rid of the hole shot device? Let me ask you this. You answer his question. And do you think that the hole shot device makes a bigger impact on these guys coming out so evenly, especially the first 10 feet? Do you think that makes more of a difference than the grates do? The whole shot device.
100%. I mean, with the horsepower these bikes have today, if you do not have a starting device on your motorcycle, and look, if you got all 22 motorcycles, then you're all in an even playing field. But with the horsepower these motorcycles have and the torque they have, it's very, very hard to get off the line without a starting device, to be honest.
You don't think they should get rid of it?
I mean, do I think they should get rid of it? I can't answer should they or should they not. It would definitely, like, literally change the dynamics so much if you got rid of the starting device.
It would definitely, the starting technique, it would be fun to see which rider and which teams could react to the different technique that it would take to get off the metal grate.
Oh yeah. Fans, anybody that wants to know, just type it into the old tube, into YouTube, and go back and look at some early 90s races before they started. I mean, the bikes come, instead of going launching off the gate straight, they go up and they pop a wheelie and then they set it back down. And definitely they're going a lot slower into the first turn than we do today. But also too, without a starting device, I think you see your first turn crashes or your crashes maybe would be a lot closer out of the gate, because as soon as you pop a wheelie off the off a grate or even the dirt, like, you're going to go sideways a lot of the time. A lot of us aren't very tall. You know, there's only one Benny Bloss out there that's, you know, that's pushing the height that he's pushing. You know, like, a lot of us have short legs and we're not very tall. So when you get off, you know, off kilter right out of the gate, you're going to be banging bars right out of the gate with no starting device. I mean, anytime you start a motorcycle without a starting device, you tend to go sideways pretty much every time. I mean, I do, because I'm just so short, and I know you will too, Ricky. Like, just very hard to keep that motorcycle going straight without a starting device.
Yep. That's the Boxo breakdown for the week. That's it. That was a lot. Hopefully you guys enjoy what we had to say. I love chopping it up on that stuff. I don't like 90-degree first corners myself personally. They narrow up so much, and then, like, if one little thing goes wrong, the margin of error is just so high compared to a nice 180 sweeping corner. So
because obviously you come in there so fast, right? It's a little dog leg, essentially, from our standpoint, from the racer standpoint. You're standing on the gate, you're sitting on your motorcycle, and you're looking, and you can really drive that motorcycle into a 90-degree turn, where, like you said, a 180, you got to come in, you got to check it up, and you got to get that motorcycle turned. Well, right here, you can see them all racing in there. So this turn was definitely a technical turn, you know, like, when it comes to staying out of trouble, because everybody's coming in there. And then at the last second, everybody's fading. And that's without connecting and collecting bars and jerseys and things like that. Mm-hmm. So definitely a technical first turn. You know, you got to put yourself in a great position, like Austin did. Get up front, make sure you're staying out of all that trouble and all that chaos in the back. Yeah. And, so that you can have a solid race.
Yep. Hayden Deegan, dude, looks like he was pretty fired up a couple times. I saw him giving the California howdy, going not right there. It's hard to tell there. Looks like he threw up a deuce sign. Kind of hard to tell. His bike is torched. Yep. There you go. There. Yeah, right there. I don't know. I think he should have maybe watched the replay first. You know, it wasn't Vial's fault. I had heard that he was flicking off Vial. I'm just passing the trash. That's what I heard, RV. I could understand his frustration. So G_wine asks, is Danger Boy still in the title fight with such a short series? He only got 6 points. What do you think?
I mean, it's definitely tough. You know, with a short series like this, you know, it puts him under the microscope for sure.
There you go. So points.
Yeah, we have the points right here. Let's see.
He's not in the top 10.
Not even in the top 10. So Chance Hymus with a 10th is 13 down. So have to see if we can pull up his outside the top 10. Oh, so at 19 down is what Aaron is saying. He's 19 points down. That's a mountain to climb. You know, that is with a short series like this. Obviously we can see he's running a Mobius wrist brace on, I think, his right hand. I thought it was his right. Yeah.
Left, wasn't it?
Yeah, maybe left. Regardless, one of his wrists, obviously, we know coming in with an injury, left hand, he's wearing the brace on. You know, it sounds like he didn't have a ton of riding, coming into the season, because of that injury. So now to be 19 points down, yeah, it's going to be a tough battle for him. He's going to have to do a lot of winning and be very consistent, right? So, and then have some favors given to him, you know, having some mistakes by these other riders. He did stay out on the track, but as you can see, we're watching the replay of him, his right throttle hand bar was bent down tremendously. The average person probably wouldn't have stayed out there, but because Hayden is a championship guy, he knows he's a championship guy. He thinks he's going to win this championship too. Every point counts, right? So,
well, I mean, I do. We're sitting here talking about it after the first round, RV, and I'm surprised that he salvaged 6 points straight up. Like, because once we saw it, like, we didn't really watch him much on the broadcast. So I only saw what all the viewers saw. And I didn't even know that he salvaged 6 points until right now. So that, you know, we might be looking back come Salt Lake City time and be like, dang, that was a, it's a good thing that he got that. So now to RV's point, he's pretty much in a mutt situation. He's going to have some luck for sure. And yeah, I'm just repeating what RV said. He's going to have some luck. He's going to have to win, and we're just going to have to watch it play out. That's the cool thing about it. So he's going to have to perform, and we'll see what happens. Charlton 74 asked, do you think this couple of week break is good for Deegan's wrist and also his mentality? I think his mentality is fine. Certainly better if the wrist is really bothering him. It's hard to tell. I knew he took some time off. His dad, Brian, talked to Will Christian before the race, and he wasn't able to ride for 3 to 4 weeks because of the bad wrist. The team gave him the option because it was a consideration that he might not race this race. Take it off and then come to Arlington is their next race in 2 weeks time. 3 weeks time, maybe. No, 2 weeks time. 3 weeks. That's right. Cause we got, Glendale week off, then Arlington.
Yep.
So 3 Saturdays. I don't think his mentality's messed up myself personally.
No. I don't think so either with the mentality. So I think he's very, very mentally strong. I think that having a weekend off to kind of regroup, obviously all these guys after their first debut, right, at Detroit being their first series race, you know, they're going to probably go back, make some changes to the motorcycle, improve it on some of the stuff that they needed to improve on after mm-hmm. racing those conditions. I'm sure there's some things that they want to improve on. But to the wrist too, you know, I think having a little more time for him, if he's now, you know, Monday through Friday riding his motorcycle and, you know, call it 4 weeks ago, he was off the motorcycle. I think that can be better for him. That can work into his favor, but he's going to have to make some stuff happen because 19 points down with 7 races left is going to be an uphill battle.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
When something happens to your car, you might say,
no! My car!
But what you really need to say is something that can actually help.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And just like that, State Farm is there to help you file your claim right on the State Farm mobile app. So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
That's it for Deegan. Thanks for the questions on Deegs. Anstey, dude, so there was a lot of chatter throughout the offseason how well he was doing at the test track. And I'm an Anstey fan. I feel like his career has been rejuvenated. He's gotten a second chance, especially on this Firepower Honda team, jumping back down to the 250 class. Massive kudos to Chance Hymus. Love seeing that. I'm not sure what happened. I guess he fell on the last lap. He ended up 10th, so that sucks for him. But he rode great. And then, I mean, Anstey was dogging him, dude. He was all over him. And he did really well, withstood the pressure, and just really looked like he focused and on hitting his marks. And when Anstey was going to pass him, he was going to pass him. Great job, Chance. Can't wait to see you in Arlington. Anstey, I think had he gotten by Hymus a little earlier, I think that maybe he could have challenged Austin, possibly for the win. We'll never know. But I wasn't surprised by Anstey's ride. How about were you or no?
I mean, look, last year breakout for him. Like, right, oh, yeah. He rode phenomenal last year, and he's kept it going. Right, so I think that's what's really cool. Yeah, he's 30 years old. And it, like you said, kind of rejuvenated his career last year. The way he's riding, the consistency he has, the speed he has, I think he's going to be in this title chase. Yep. To the end. I don't know if he's is able to win the championship, but he'll be in this fight till the end. And nonetheless, I'm kind of looking for, you know, at watching him ride and his consistency and his maturity now as he's a little bit older and this, you know, rejuvenation of his career. Like, where can he go next year into the 450 class if he decides to go up, or if he, I don't know exactly what it is, if he's going to. I haven't heard the rumblings. I'm just speculating.
Yeah,
man, where with two new teams coming in, you know, with Triumph coming in and we have Ducati also, it's opening up some more positions for guys like Max right now, that when he does go up to the 450, like, I think he can be, I'm not going to say a threat for wins in the 450 class, but he's going to be a factory bike in the top 10, you know, I think around that 8th through 10th, you know, the way he's riding right now. So I think it's really cool to see. The guy gives some of the best interviews in our sport. Love to hear him talk on the podium. And, you know, I'm looking forward to see what he can do, you know, his next round.
Yeah, he is so fun. He did awesome. I think, to your point, having another year in the 250, continuing to build that confidence in RV, you know how it is when you run up front like that, you build so much as a person, and it gives you that inner confidence that you need. And hopefully he can pay that forward. I think it'd be, I mean, could you imagine if you talked about the other manufacturers, Triumph, you got Beta, you got Ducati as well. They'll be hopping into the 450 stuff, I believe, next year as well. Both, all these manufacturers, well, Beta's already there. But I think it'd be cool if Anstey was on Triumph. He's, you know, British company, having a British rider. That'd be kind of cool. Bennick, dude. So I was watching Bennick, and he ended up third. Fantastic rookie debut for that guy. He rode superb all night. And what I was blown away with, RV, is like watching him, like in practice, he never really had any scary moments. He was just kind of like putting in his laps, honestly, not overriding. And he was well deserved of this finish. It was, I wouldn't say it was surprising, but mm-hmm. I loved his demeanor and how he looked like he had been racing Supercross for many, many years, dude.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, I go back to, Futures last year in New York. I believe he was on the podium in that. He might've won it, but, he looked okay. I wasn't like, wow, this kid coming out of amateur on Star's bike, is going to be a threat. You know, I didn't see that last year at with the Futures rounds that we did, that I got to see. So, but to your point, coming out here at Detroit, he looked, I don't want to use the word veteran, but he was solid for a rookie, on that technical track, on that, mm-hmm. on those dirt conditions. He came there and did what he was supposed to do, kept his head down, stayed out of trouble, and landed himself his first race on the podium. Very, very impressive. I think I would say most improved from what I saw from last year to this year out of anybody. Like he on this East Coast anyways, he definitely surprised me when I was watching the broadcast. You know, I didn't expect Dax to be up in the top, you know, on the podium. I expected Dax to be in the top 10, and have a good race, but not a great race, you know, just because of, you know, rookie first real Supercross race, first, real season. So he surprised me, and, you know, I think he's going to be good. I think he's going to be really good. If he can keep this trajectory where he's going and riding like he's riding, very, very, mature, is what I saw.
Yep, he did. Yeah, it was unbelievable how well he did, and the composure that he had, and just how he was just so focused on himself, I felt like. So I expect he's going to continue to get that build confidence guests each and every week as he's in these situations. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch these young rookies progress. Some other notables, Jaleek Swole, sixth place. Cody Schott, great job as well. Jaleek Swole, dude, he had to work for it. He got punted off the track by Pierce Brown in the heat race. Not sure what that was all about, but yeah, Brown, I mean, he went up the track, crossed the ruts. I mean, I'm not sure what happened. I had asked the team guys at Triumph, like, were they beefing before this? And they're like, no, it just kind of came out of nowhere. So that was interesting to see. So he had to work to get transfer from the heat to the main event. He did that, and then he went down in that first turn and kind of fought up through there. Got a few gifts here and there, but at the end of the day, I think it was a solid run for him, a solid performance for the team. Hated to see Evan go down in the first corner, solid debut for these guys.
I agree. I was very impressed with just watching. He rode well, right? But he's been in this game for a little while, so it's not something new for him, but it's brand new platform that you guys have, that Triumph has. And, and the bike looks really good. I think for those conditions, very first race out on this type of stage, it was a very, very good starting point for the team. I'm impressed with the motorcycle. It's a good looking motorcycle too. So I only think it's only up from here for those guys in the team, and once they get their feet really under themselves, because I'm sure there was a lot of unknowns coming into this. You can try to unturn every rock out there and make sure you're prepared. But until you get out there and in these conditions under this pressure, you don't really know where you stand. So I thought it was a great showing for Triumph. And I think that we're, like I said, when they really get their feet under themselves, get a couple races and figure this out, I think they're a reckon to be a force to be reckoned with.
Who for the 250 class, who gets the Hanging It All Out award for the hardest ride?
Cameron McAdoo, baby. Dude. You gotta put it all on the line. And that's what he did.
Cameron, if you listen to the show, we want to commend you, brother. You have taken it like a champ. Maybe you're looking down there doing an assessment like, we got a problem here, Houston. Yeah. I mean, listen, this is a PG rated show.
It is.
It's not an X rated show. So we have to tiptoe lightly of what we show on here, what we're going to talk about on here and our wording. But,
never seen this before ever in the history.
What do you want us to say, you guys? I want to ask you this. And Mark Ogden 88 asks, if what happened to McAdoo happens to you, are you pulling over?
No, you can't. You cannot pull over. Obviously, everything was intact. There was, other than his pants, everything was intact and everything was okay. Cameron considers himself a championship threat. And, we know he's capable of winning races. He's done it before. He's got to keep himself out of trouble, which obviously that didn't happen, for a lot of guys in that first turn. So no, you have to salvage every point you can. So like I said, everything was intact with him on his body other than his pants. So yeah, you got to stay out there. I mean,
yeah, dude, you got to, especially champion, to your point, RV, like what RV's saying, he considers himself as a championship guy. He is. You look at the speed, he's there. So unfortunately, you got to bite the bullet and go out there, and it's going to be what it's going to be. Take it like a champ. In my mind, he's the people's champ, dude. Like, he's taking it well. We've seen memes about him, and you just got to own it. Like, that's what he's been doing, and I hate that for him, right? But I always feel like he's we're there's always some hot topic about him. I always go back to that crash at Atlanta Motor Speedway that he had. But I mean, look at Adam, look at AC. I mean, Ken Roczen chiming in.
Yeah, owning it proudly, Kenny says. Yeah, no, it's hey man, it's this will go down in history. It'll be talked about. You know, I wonder if the poor guy had a little chafing.
Yeah, I mean, you just wonder. Hopefully, there was no damage. Most importantly, I mean, dude, yeah, I better get it. We better get off of this subject we have to go to the principal's office with our producers. So,
sorry, guys, it was cold. That
for you, Cam. Respect the heck out of you for continuing to go on. It just shows your determination and the type of competitor that you are. I hate that it happened to anyone, especially yourself. Dude, that's a lot. We just talked for about 43 minutes, bro, on the 250 class. Yeah. So you guys that's listening to the show or you guys that are watching the show, I mean, like everybody in the industry, I'm sure that I mean, we were going back and forth of every single slang or sentence that you could use of like throwing it out there or, you know, man, it really, that was a bleep ride or performance. Yeah, we were doing it, having a blast. So definitely a talking point. It was hilarious. Moving on, Detroit 450 recap. Jet Lawrence back on top of the box. Certainly a few scary moments. Remember, y'all, when I was telling you, hey, RV had some great insight and what he was going to talk about on a couple of the scary moments, a gnarly scary moment for Jet. Aaron, go ahead and roll this. So Jet says he hits neutral here. Take it away, champ. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, yes. Jet said he hit
neutral. You calling the man a liar?
I'm calling maybe a little BS. I don't know. I don't see the neutral hit, and this is why I maybe he did. I wasn't on the motorcycle, but I'm gonna call it how I see it. Look, he comes in as right hander. He dabs his foot right here for the folks watching, and then he dabs it right here on the takeoff. And when you grab your and when you dab your foot on a takeoff, if anybody's done it. It's something that your body's not expecting. And then when you do that, it definitely wants to throw the rotation of the motorcycle forward. And why I don't think he hit neutral is when he did land up on top of the tabletop, he was able to kind of squirt off with the front wheel up and, you know, kind of recover. But yeah, very, very scary moment there. Those can end in tears pretty easily because he could have dabbed that foot and almost went into a knack-knack. It could have flipped his foot off and over the seat. The rotation of the motorcycle, like I said, was floating forward, and he also came up a little bit short, you know, because the motorcycle's front wheel was down instead of it being up and kind of landing up on top of the tabletop like it should. Dabs the foot again right here. We're watching it again. Dabs it in the turn right there, and then he dabs it right there on the takeoff. I think that's what caused him to get into that rotation. It looks to me like he's going too fast. And anytime anybody that has hit neutral on any jump, it's an immediate stop. Like you're going over the bars when you hit
neutral. The rotation, forward rotation, right?
Yeah, the forward. To me, it looks like everything is still moving forward. The cause of the problem was him hitting his foot on top of the jump. That's the one we have. I know he talked in the presser that he had two major moments. This is the one that I thought was pretty gnarly. Superman, right? He was able to save it keep it up on two wheels and end up standing on top of the podium, which, you know, he's had a couple weeks have been a little bit rough. So it was good to see him back up there, but by no means was it just a flawless race.
No. And you know what? I was watching, Weege's, little post-race, download that he does when he walks through the pits, with this camera, and he talked to, Dazzy, and, I really liked what Dazzy said, RV. And I think you would have been the same way as well. He's like, yeah, it was a win. Obviously they love winning the races, but at the same time, he's like, I mean, really, he didn't do anything spectacular, and it wasn't a great race. That mistake, I'm sure he was referencing that. There was a few moments I can't remember verbatim what he said, but he's like, yeah, it wasn't the best race. He did what he did. He executed the start, went and won the race, but he could have been better. Again, I'm not saying verbatim what Dazzy said. And I like that. I think, I don't know if you were like this, but I was like this sometimes, RV. Like, you just have these rides where you're like, I won. That's great. But it was, I'm better than what I showed tonight, even with the win. I mean, I respect that out of Dazzy. I mean, and I look back at the ride. Yeah, he did great. It was cool to see him win, but it was really just kind of nonchalant win for me, I think.
Yeah. I think there's Jet's got, I don't want to say more in the tank for speed wise, but he's capable of a better ride than that. More consistent, less mistakes. We've seen his perfect rides in the past, and I wouldn't say that was a perfect ride. I think that was a good ride, but nonetheless, you stand on top of the box, you get those points, and that's really what it's all about, right? It doesn't matter how you win it, by how much, how pretty it was. You stand on top of the box, you get those added 3 points compared to from second place to first, right? Those are the things you need. That's the critical mass that you have to have. You got it, ending up on the podium there, and now he's 1 point out of the lead. Definitely recovered well from the start of the season or from round two till now, right? So interesting to see. We're going to Phoenix, much different track conditions than what we just saw at Detroit, right? It should be more of the blue groove, hard pack.
Fast, super fast.
Yep, faster track. So it's going to be interesting to see. I'm looking forward to it. I think Jet's riding really well right now. So, these guys are going to have to keep him honest. They're going to have to keep him honest every single weekend and not give him an inch, because if you give him an inch, he's going to take a mile.
Yeah. Got to thank a new partner this year, tagging along, Title 24, Dunlop Tires. We appreciate you guys. Best tire in the business. I saw that one of the riders in the premier class, Dylan Ferrandis, switched and was using Dunlops this week. So I'm feeling like he is gaining an advantage there. I don't know that his result spoke for that, but he has decided to go with the leader in tires in this series, and that's Dunlop. So for our Dunlop due diligence section of the podcast, we're going to break down some riders, Chase Sexton, Cooper Webb, Eli Tomac. Dude, I wanted to give Eli the benefit of the doubt. What in the world do you think happened there? Like, just straight up arm pump or what? I don't even want to call him or text him and ask him, be like, dude, because I don't want to be disrespectful,
definitely a rough. I mean, puts himself in a good position off the line, right? Drops back in behind Chase right here. We're watching the replay he dropped into third. And now we're seeing Kenny go around the outside. Definitely, I'm gonna pull this stuff out of the air, right? Because I haven't talked to Eli, and I haven't talked to any one of his, personnel on his team, but I have two theories, and my two theories are that is he, does he have a little bit of nagging, injury from the Achilles? And then the other big one here, which I don't know if everybody's going to love it, is has his mentality changed from the old Eli from last year? And the reason why I say that is it's different being at 31, two kids, you had that all that off season time of the rehab and not even thinking about a motorcycle, just being a dad and a wife and being at home, right? And sure, you're training and you're doing your things, you're doing your rehab, you're trying to you're staying fit, you're staying ready for when you are able to swing the leg over the motorcycle again. But that doesn't mean that this hasn't changed, his mentality up in his head of like, do I really want to hang it out this much? That's my two theories. It's going to be interesting to see if he can rebound. But man, that was that performance from basic, you know, from third back to, I think 12th was his finish.
No, he ended up getting 10th. I think he went all the way down to 11th. I think.
Okay.
Don't hold me that. I do know this much. He got lapped.
Yep. Yep. He did. And I, you know, there was a stat that said he hadn't been off the podium since 19, maybe, I thought I heard. I don't know if that's correct, but you know, that's not the Eli we know. Right. So, no. You know, we all have these questions in our head from the fans to even us ex racers. You know, what has changed, or was it just an off night, right? Those are the three things. Mentality change. Is he dealing with the nagging injury of his leg? Did he maybe hurt it during the week? Was that track tough on his Achilles? Or was it just an off night? I can't answer that. I'm hoping that we're going to see a different Eli here coming into Phoenix, but nonetheless, he took it to the chin.
Saturday. He did, dude. Like, I mean, we've all been tight, you know, when I say tight arm pump and like, he was second, right? Wasn't he second or third? Then he gets
listen, second didn't start straight, basically through the first rhythm section. Chase went up the inside, and then he solidly had third the first lap.
Well, it's been known. Yeah, there he goes. Watching the replay. Actually, Sexton got by him really quick there on the second corner in that 180. So it was third. I forgot about Sexton getting by him there that early. But it's crazy because Eli, you know, and he said this, so I'm not just, you know, making up anything, that when he's not comfortable, and this happened at Tampa last year, I think he ended up, what was it, fifth? And that was a tough night for a couple reasons. It was super slippery and the rain was intermittent. So, you know, not knowing what, you know, what the dirt was going to give you or what you could get away with, vice versa. Those are tricky conditions to ride on. So, and he even said, he's like, dude, I didn't feel great. And, you know, I felt, you know, that I just needed to get through the night. And then he went on a run after that. That's kind of like when he started to go backwards, I'm like, he just, you know, he must have arm pump. And those conditions, as you know, RV, are super hard to ride when it's ruddy like that. The rhythm lanes aren't that long. And, you know, the jumps aren't flowing well because of the ruts. It's super hard to hold on to your motorcycle and you feel sketchy. But when he kept going back and kept going back and kept going back, I'm like, is there something wrong with the motorcycle? Just because a guy like that, you know, you just don't, even with the worst of arm pumps, you don't go back that far. So
that's the problem, right? Like being smart and being a smart and a veteran racer, you know, and taking, you know, falling on your sword and getting a fifth, like you said, mentioned last year, like that's a smart decision, but going that fifth is still a commendable result if you're not all in it for that weekend, not feeling comfortable, have arm pump, you're riding tight, you're still kind of in the game. But 10th, you know, with these guys, with Jet winning and Chase getting second, you know, second at Detroit, like your points are starting to run away from you, right? So a 10th is definitely not where you want to be, because you know it's just you're forfeiting so many points. So that's
overboard. It's straight up. It's overboard. It's overboard, dude.
Yeah, it's tough, you know. So if Eli wants to keep this baby alive, he's gonna have to go, like you said, he's gonna have to rebound and he's gonna have to go on a run here of having some really, really good finishes. And what I mean by really good is winning multiple races, and you know, and then also his nights that he is a little bit off, not too far out of the top three, you know, inside that top five.
Yeah, it was a big points loss. So he dropped the sixth in points. He's 16 points back off of the lead. Yeah, that was tough. I mean, dude, I don't know, without talking to him, in respect to him, I didn't want to sit here and text him and ask him, like, dude, what happened? I know I wouldn't want someone to ask me, especially coming off of a bad weekend like that. Like, I mean, fifth is different. Like, hey, I got tight, you know, I just, you know, like I'm referencing Tampa. So I'm sure we'll hear a little bit more at the end of the day. We'll switch to Chase Sexton after this, RV. But, dude, that guy has to answer to no one. He's a second winningest rider in Supercross history. He's a two-time Supercross champ, multi-time MX champ. And, dude, the guy has made a great living. And you know what? If the end of the road is near, who cares, man? I want to celebrate his good rides and watch him when he's on, right? I want to watch him when he's on and enjoy those moments.
Exactly. Take it all in. If this if the end of the road is closing in on him for his
career.
I hope it's not. No, totally. But from the fan's perspective, like, dude, give the guy, he's one of the best.
Don't beat him up.
Yeah. He's, like you said, he's second all time for wins in Supercross. Like, you know, let's praise the guy. If this is, and like you said, we hope it's not, but it's looking interesting. Put it.
eBay Motors is here for the ride with some elbow grease and a whole lot of love. You transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
That way.
Chase Sexton, dude, he grabs a red plate from his teammate. And AP did really well, actually. I think that he was a little slow off the start. He got a bad start, so he was in the back of the pack, and he was losing some ground early. But he made a push. The second half of the race. But this guy, Chase Sexton, really, really uneventful. He held Jet pretty close for about half of the race, and then he made some mistakes. He had one in the whoops. He talked about it a little bit. But the interesting thing, RV, we had a sound bite and I was going to talk about it, that they talked to him at, press day. And he said that he's felt the worst at Anaheim 1 and Anaheim 2. And up until this past weekend, those were the only two dry races. So that's interesting to me, how he's been pretty vocal about how he keeps testing and wanting to get better. I think that's not in the spot you want to be. You know, I mean, when you change from one team to another, you're hoping that, you know, it's not a lateral move. It's you're switching to be better. Right. Mm-hmm. So he keeps saying that he needs to test, that they're getting better. So like getting better, isn't there. So that's what I'm keeping in my mind. Does he have the points lead? Yes, he does. I will say this. I wrote this in my notes and I said, how much is, he's been much more consistent this year, RV. I say, how much is his consistency is due to the new bike versus him just growing as a rider? So you take the past 2 years and the mistakes that he's made, and we've been super critical of him for good reason. How much, like, can we say it's because of the bike, or do we give him more of the credit of him changing his mindset and not going over that limit and keeping it on two wheels? Like, what is your feel or your reaction for there? Like, how much is it the bike and how much is it him just, you know, checking up? What do you think?
Well, I think a big chunk of it is him. I will say that I think he mature, you know, got another season under his belt. He had to make a change, right? Meaning he had to make a change with himself and stop making those mistakes. Now, is the motorcycle helping him do that? Yeah, I think it might be helping him do that. But just the scenery change, moving from Honda over to Red Bull KTM, then maybe that's what it needed to kind of light that fire of the consistency and riding, not over his head, and the motorcycle may help that. So, but personally, I would say I'm going to chalk that up to him just being a smarter, better rider, learning from his mistakes. And I think I'd say 70-30, 70% he's better, 30% the motorcycle's helping, you know. But he's also, like you said, he's been vocal on testing and trying to get the motorcycle better, you know, throughout these weeks. And it's very hard to do when in our form of racing, when we have so many rounds back to back to back to back, you only have really, for the listeners that are listening, like you normally only test one day a week. I mean, if things are really, really way out of whack, you might do 2 days of testing. And one day of like, call it motos or just like, hey, so let's go Monday, Tuesday. If we test, then Thursday, we want to ride what we've ended up, Tuesday with. We want to get a whole day under our belt on that new setting.
Yep.
That we know what it's predictable. We know what it's going to do. Right. And one day, believe me, is short, for some of these changes. If it's a big change, one day can be short. Right. So, I think he needs to keep doing what he's doing. I think he needs to also find a little more speed, a little more fire underneath of him and really kind of fight for these wins. You know, he needs to bridge that gap from where he was. We watched when coming up to the finish line, checkered flag. You could see the flames go off when Jet went off the finish line. So my point is he wasn't – it wasn't like it was a 15-second gap that Jet had on him. It looked to me – it was only about 2.5 to 3 seconds. So fairly close. But he needs to bridge that gap that Jet has on him right now and put himself in good positions. He can't be having these, you know, mediocre starts and then Jet gets a whole shot and he's working his way up. You know, he started second. He was able to keep Jet honest, but he couldn't bridge that gap. So he's going to have to, maybe it's making a couple more changes, getting that bike where he needs to bridge that gap up to Jet. But he ultimately needs to start putting pressure on him because with the being that Jet's only 1 point down, very, very, boom, very close racing.
That's what I was going to tee you up on is like, you know, some of our people that are going to go back and forth with us, some of our fans or people that listen or watch our show, RV, they're going to be like, yeah, but he's got the red plate. And I'm with you. He's showed great composure. Looking at the unofficial points right now, mm-hmm. Chase Sexton has 98 points. Lawrence is 1 point back. Plessinger is 2 points back. Cooper Webb is 6 points back. And then a fairly decent gap. 8 points behind Cooper Webb is Jason Anderson. In fifth place, Eli Tomac, 16 points back. Then Kenny's 21 and so on. Starts to get out of hand at that stage. So,
yeah.
I like his composure. I wonder how much of the difference is the bike versus Chase just getting better and learning from his mistakes, which is obviously the progression that you want to have. At the end of the day, I think as the series winds up getting closer to the end, and you have to assume that some guys are going to get better along with Chase, I believe, to your point, RV, he's going to have to find a little bit more fire, a little more speed. He did say that on the podium, if you remember, RV said that in those type conditions at Detroit, he felt a lot more comfortable and he was better in those conditions than he was on the Honda. I don't know how true that is. Maybe it was just a stab towards them, but anyhow, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, I'll jump right to that. I personally think that, you know, we're going to talk Coop right now. Yeah. We saw points wise right there. Coop's only six down. You got Jet, you got Chase leading, and then you got Jet in second, and you got AP.
Who you got, dude? Where are you at right now with it?
Is Chase and Jet better keep an eye on old Coop because I think he's building, and we haven't seen the best out of Cooper yet.
He looked good this weekend, dude.
Coop can be cool as a cucumber when he's out there. When it comes down to when this series gets down to five to go, and if we're in this situation right now where these points are this close, Chase is going to have to deal with the pressure of being in that cooker, right? Of being, hey, I'm not in the points lead. I don't have a big points gap. We're fighting for tooth and nail. If I'm a betting guy, if I'm in Vegas, I'm taking Coop right now to be the guy that's going to be putting pressure on both of those two at the end. I think that his the way he's showing that he's riding, he's able to, number one, he's able to come through the pack really well. The motorcycle looks like it's working very well underneath of him. And I think that his trajectory right now is going to get better. I think I think he's going to be he's in this for the long haul. And I think it comes down to, if not the three of them, it comes, he's going to be one of the two that's in there for fighting for this championship at the very, very end.
Yeah. Kayla J. Webb. Or no, that's not Kayla J. I'm guessing. There's no way. Well, maybe she. Webb blamed his bad start on his gate pick, but he was next to Jet, who got the whole shot. I would say, yeah, he was next to Jet. But RV, you know, and you can explain to the people and our viewers and to answer Kayla's question, just because he was next to Jet doesn't mean that the gate and the conditions after the gate were comparable to what Jet was on, right?
No, and back to into what her point is, maybe, or to Coop's point, is he blamed it on the gate. Was it that he was on, we'd have to pull up a replay of the start there. Was he on the right side? Was he on the outside of Jet? Like just one position on the outside of, I always tended to try to put myself on the inside of the best of the good guys, right? I don't like to be on the outside of the good guy, right? Because you know, you're starting against Jet. You're starting against the best guys in the world. If they get the jump on you, you are left out to dry on this outside, especially on a left-hand turn like that. So maybe he's referring to that. He should have went to the inside gate of Jet. And even if Jet gets the jump on him, he can drop in right behind him and follow him through the first turn. He was on the right side, or sorry, left side of Jet. So, you know, I don't know, like, you, to your point, it could have been that he had a hole out in front of the gate and rear tire hopped when he came out of the gate and just it didn't lay the traction to the ground and get him where he needed to be. I don't look at that as an excuse. I look at that like, hey, you're one of the best riders in the world and you need to know where to put yourself against these guys and also pick, you know, look for those things out in front of the gate, you know, like especially, you know, out in front there. You can't have something that's blue groove out front. You can't have holes out in front of those out in front of the gates. You want to make sure that that tire, when it leaves that grate, is just hooking up, you know. So and maybe he didn't have the option. Maybe he was stuck with picking that gate he had. Well,
That's where he said he's got to eliminate the mistakes in the heat races. So he does have a good pick, and he is exactly right. I think one thing about Coop is he's going to call it like it is. We're watching where he lays it down. That stings, because eventually I think he went from I think he only had the eighth pick because he wasn't the fastest heat race. So instead of being the seventh pick, he would have been the eighth pick, or however it worked out. So yeah, that stings for sure. And I think, like, Coop's going to be honest. He's going to call a spade a spade. And if he messes up, he owns it for sure. I think that this year, RV, the starts, going back to the starts before we get to our quad lock question of the week, I feel like they're always important. We know that. But I feel what is that we need to watch is if you have a guy like Cooper who gets the whole shot, and then you have, say, a Sexton or a Jet gets a fifth to sixth place start, I think it's going to be hard for those guys to beat a guy like Coop. Take this week. If you get a guy like Jet that gets the whole shot, and then Coop is way back. Yeah, he just was. Yeah, he was laid off the gate. He's lucky he didn't crash. Then you get a guy like Coop that starts bad and, like, the roles are reversed and he's six. It's going to be really, really, really hard to reel in that gap just because you're going to lose so much track position, you know, the first five, six laps until he can get into a spot where he could possibly make up time. That's where those situations are going to be interesting to watch this year. I feel like, who the hell knows?
Yep. No, I agree. You got it. You have to put yourself in a good position off the line. Doesn't matter what track, what conditions. I mean, in this field, you have to start up front. And we say it every time. We everybody knows it's like their starts are so critical. So critical.
Yep. They did 28 laps in the.
Back to that question of what's difference of it, track breaking down. You know, that's eight more laps than me and you ever did, Ricky. You know, in a race format.
That's right. All right. before we get to the end of the show and we do a little NBC promo, we got the Quad Lock question of the week. Get over to quadlockcase.com, check out their product, best in the business. We talk about them every single weekend. I think it's best that you go check out their website and you can look at everything for yourself instead of me explaining it to you. I love what they bring to the table. I love their products and all the options that they have. Just a great company as well. Some really good people over there. Quad Lock question of the week. The winner is Paul Marner. Paul, you know what to do. Slide into the direct message on the Title 24 Instagram page, and we will get you locked in with Quad Lock, and then we'll send you your merch. Make sure you post about it. Tell us what you like about it as well. They love the feedback. Paul Marner asks, is it time to combine 250 East-West championships? One bad race has massive consequences in the regional championships. What do you think?
I mean, that is a tough one. You know, just take 450 guys, for example. It's hard for our veterans and the guys that have been in this sport for a long time to make it through 17 rounds. Now you put these kids in 17 rounds and try to have them make it through 17. It's definitely tough. I think that I've questioned that myself. You know, I've tried to run it through my head. What would be the scenarios? Is it good? Is it bad? Would it be better? On one hand, I do think that it would be cool to combine, maybe not all 17, but make it a 12 race series or a 10 race series. I don't really know. But once again, guys, that comes into, you know, the program, the program that Feld and AMA have, you know, you get rid of it's planning. And, you know, we have the program works very well how it works, right? Having the 250 class and the 450. So you can't have them run like a 12 round series or a 10 round series. If you're going to do it, you got to have them there every single weekend, all of them. I think it would take a long time or not long, but a fair amount of time to get these riders to change their thinking. And why I say that is you see these eight races that these guys do. It is kind of every race is so critical. They might
like
hang
college
it out.
Football. I mean, dude, yeah. you give up a game in college football, you're out of the playoffs. Not necessarily. So don't beat me up, people. I understand. Like now with the playoff system, but before the playoff system, dude. Like you, every very game critical. Means something. You can't lay up like in the NFL or MLB or NBA, you know, like everything, every race means something. It's a little extra.
I just don't know if that class is ready for that. You know, it's just like when I moved from the 250 class to the 450, like I had two complete bust learning years. Ricky, same thing with you,
yep,
right? Like major learning years. And then to put yourself and run 17 rounds like that. It's very tough. Not to say they couldn't do it. Not to say if they said next year, hey, we're running all 17 rounds and in 3 or 4 years, their mentality changes. They're the way they think of these races kind of changes and they're in it for the long haul. But like, if you were to just say, hey, next year we're going 17 rounds, I think you're going to have guys that you're going to have a lot of the members in that field that may not make it through 17 rounds with just nagging injuries. And being able to, you know, sustain that much pressure, that much exertion for 17 rounds in the 250 class. It's a huge difference. It really is.
Yep. There you go. I'm with you. I'm kind of like, I'm torn between it. Would it be cool, you know, because like NASCAR and the Xfinity series is similar. I don't think they have as many races as the Cup series does. You know, what does that look like from a cost standpoint? You know, I don't know. I'm with you. It's a big jump going from 9 races to your point, RV, to, you know, going 14 to, and if they did the full series, 17, it's big. And especially the younger guys, I feel like it would be tough on them. You know, if something went wrong, just not a lot of,
really because a problem with teams that have 4 riders, right. As 250 teams, you know, because, to, you know, added cost to your point. Like, I know they race outdoors with four riders, but now you're doing four riders in Supercross. That would probably really spike the cost of those teams, of the 250 teams that aren't on the same budget as a 450 team.
Right. All right. Paul Marner, thank you very much. Good question, by the way. Congratulations on the Quadlock question of the week. Quadlock, thank you very much. Remember, again, check out quadlockcase.com. Check out all the cool stuff they have. I think you will be pleasantly surprised. Shifting gears, looking forward to heading to Glendale. I love going there. If you need to know times and when we're airing it and where we're airing it, remember a little Super Motocross on NBC promo. Always remember Thursday, SMX Insider with Wygant and JT. That will be at 2 p.m. Eastern. And then switching to Saturday, Race Day Live starts at 3 p.m. Eastern, live on Peacock. Make sure you check that out, watching all the practice action. And then for the night show, 8:30, round six, Monster Energy Supercross. The Super Motocross World Championship will be 8:30 p.m. Eastern on Peacock. So I love that place. Did you like Glendale?
I did. I did like racing there. I like the hard pack dirt. I seem to do pretty well there. In the past, it's a good stadium. You get to Arizona, it tends to be really warm. They're coming from Detroit. That was frigid temperatures. Now we're heading over to Arizona, where it's definitely going to be a lot warmer. I'm sure the guys are stoked with that. Obviously, open pits and you know, your experience with Supercross when it is a little bit warmer is obviously much nicer, right? So definitely looking forward to this weekend.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it as well. Got the West 250 West is back, maybe a Levi RJ battle. There's other guys out there plenty capable of winning, no doubt. Think about Nate Thrasher, Jordan Smith maybe wanting some redemption, so don't sleep on those other two guys as well. I'm not even gonna speculate, but I think it's gonna be a good one.
I agree, man. I'm looking forward to it. Get those guys back out there and kind of see who's going to establish taking this West Coast to that next level. Is it going to be Hampshire? Is it going to be Jordan Smith, Levi? If I'm biased, I'm going for the hometown hero, Levi Kitchen. I'd like to see him finally kind of get some more wins under his belt and take control of this thing. But right now, it's free game for anyone, right?
Yeah. Yep. I'm with you. I'm waiting to see who's going to take control. And this is going to be an important race because they don't race for a while after this event. So, you know, as you know, RV, it's always special when you have a long break to go out with the win and give those guys a little taste of something to think about, what they got to look forward to moving forward. Quick track map review. Here it is, a shorter start. Normally it's a bit longer, but this is the biggest floor that we go to, I believe, inside of a closed stadium. I love it. To RV's point, there you go. Perfect. And a beautiful first turn corner, long rhythm lane. It's going to be really fast. Say,
look how long the rhythm sections are.
Yeah. It's going to be really long.
Yeah. Two stand sections. Nothing much in the turns, right? So it keeps it clean and keeps it a little more manageable for the goggle guys out there that it's not in the turns. But interesting to see, because when the sand is set up there, you go right in front of the starting gate right there. If that sand gets dragged out onto that blue groove hard pack section there, very technical when you get the sand on top of that that Arizona hard pack.
That's right. All right, RV, good stuff. You bringing it to life every week here on Title 24. Thank you, everybody, for listening, watching. Thank you to all our partners, Quadlock Case, United Motorsports, Boxo USA, and, of course, Dunlop Tires. Great companies. We appreciate you guys. Everyone, remember, we're on all platforms for podcasts. If you're just listening to us, whatever you use. In that regard, go listen to us, download it, and listen. And then, of course, if you watch us, always on Motorsports on NBC's YouTube page. And, of course, we're live on Peacock. Remember, we got a Facebook page that we want you guys to check out. Facebook.com/Title24, spelled out 24. So make sure you guys check out our new Facebook page. We'll start fielding some questions and answering stuff there, trying to look at it easier way. to engage with you guys. So we appreciate everyone's support. And RV, we will see everyone next week.
That's right, baby.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
When you buy a new house, you might say,
shut the front door.
Winning.
No, seriously, shut the front door. We own this house now.
But you actually need to say,
like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. The local State Farm agent is there to help you choose the coverage you need.
Welcome to my crib. No one says that anymore, but I don't care.
So just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.